Many shows invite experts on, but few of them ask those experts about something they don't know anything about. It's what makes us special. We call it Not My Job. It's the start of a political year. Who better to check in with than Paul Begala as a political consultant? He helped elect Bill Clinton to the White House. As a pundit, he's been opinionating and arguing on CNN and other networks for years. Paul Begala, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you. It's great to have you.
Great to be here.
So it's exciting to get our hands on a real-life pundit after the New Hampshire primary. What, sir, happened to all of you? I speak of the political class.
Right. Well, you know, I think it was a wonderful lesson in humility. You know, it's humiliation therapy for my fellow pundits. The voters got in the way. They didn't get the message. I mean, things were happening. You know, Senator Clinton had this very wonderful kind of emotional moment that I think connected with a lot of people. Things changed.
Let me ask you about that moment you just mentioned. We talked about it earlier in the show, this moment of emotion that so many people say was central to what happened this week.
Oh, yeah.
A, do you buy into that people hadn't seen the real Hillary and they finally did and like, oh, yeah, they said maybe we can vote for her?
Yes. I mean, I'm in a different place than most pundits in that I've known her for 16 years. You
right.
know, I worked for her husband. You know, I've seen her cry. I've you know, she's seen me cry. We you know, you become very, very close in that kind of environment in the White House.
Paul, I just voted for you.
Yeah.
Well, I have to say, a friend of mine is working for Mitt Romney, and they're actually considering going to Michigan and crying for 24 hours straight. So desperate.
Well, what about the dig that the reason you don't get to see these politicians as they really are, good, bad, or indifferent, across the political spectrum, is because people like you, the professional political consultants, are preventing them from revealing themselves. They're so controlled and focus grouped and vetted everything they say. Is that true?
I think that's a part of it, but it's also people like me in the media more than people like me as a political consultant.
So right. Either way, it's your fault.
It's either way, it's fine. That's exactly right, Adam.
Okay.
Right. But it's because I think we are in a hothouse press environment. You know, politicians and, frankly, political consultants, we just follow wherever the votes are. We follow wherever the rewards are. We're like the hen that plays the piano. You know, we'll peck whatever key you tell us if you give us a key.
This is like talking to Dan Rather. This is like, what? The hen? There's a hen that plays a piano?
Yeah. It's just like the hen that plays tic-tac-toe. I know what he's talking about.
I have no idea.
You put the corn under the right places, and they'll peck whatever notes you ask them to.
Exactly. Well,
I didn't know you were so folksy.
I'm from Sugar Land, Texas. I grew up not very far from Dan Rather.
All right. Do you guys working in these campaigns actually, like, get emotionally involved and really end up hating the other guy?
Oh, yeah.
You really do?
Oh, my God. Are you
wow.
kidding? Are you kidding? At least for me. You know, Carville and I were a team. We still are a team for 25, 26 years now. And
This is James Carville, of course, your famous pundit and consultant himself.
We would tell our clients, you know, you pay for our brains, but we throw our hearts and souls in for free.
Right.
I mean, to this day, I'm terribly close to all the clients I ever had. And I really hate all the opponents we ever had.
I got to ask you this about, I mean, because it's weird sometimes when you get that we're all so desperate in a weird way for that moment of genuineness. I totally
right.
agree. Even when if it's not positive, just so that it's genuine. But one thing that seems consistent is that all the Republicans really dislike Mitt Romney. Do you think that's true?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
We're not just seeing that. They actually don't like the son of a whatever.
The
son of a governor.
Distinguished son of a governor.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes. And, you know, I asked one of his advisors. These guys are all friends of mine, you know.
Yeah.
And he said, well, they're just jealous because of Mitt's aura. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, he just walks in a room and you can just sense it. And I said, well, you know, I can, but, you know, I'm allergic to hairspray.
Ha-ha.
Nice.
You always know when Mitt's coming. They all hate him.
Well, I've asked you. Well, okay, why do they hate him?
Because he's a phony.
You
wow.
think?
Oh, sure. No, look, I mean, John McCain, I don't agree with him, but he authentically represents his position.
Right.
Right? He's strongly for this war. I'm strongly against it, but I respect his character and consistency.
Right.
You know, Mike Huckabee, I disagree with him on pretty much everything. He doesn't believe in evolution or gravity or photosynthesis. But you know, Peter, I respect him. And Mitt... I mean, I'm sorry, I don't mean to be so rough on poor. I'm sure he's a lovely guy, but, you know, he just
ties dogs to the roof of his car, man. You can just go nuts.
Well, that is rough.
That's rough. That's rough. Let me ask you this. There's one of the, going back to New Hampshire for a second, there's been some theory that one of the things that might have propelled what happened in New Hampshire was, in fact, a reaction not so much to the candidates, but to you guys in the media, that you were all saying, well, Obama's going to walk away with it, Hillary's done. I know you didn't say that, but other people did. And they said, to heck with you, when they walked into the voting booth, I'm going to give it to those pundits who were so mean to Hillary. Do you think that you guys are actually exerting an influence in that way?
I don't think anybody bases their vote on pissing off Sam Donaldson. You know, it's just not...
I do. Just personally. Just let me know who he's supporting.
You know, no, I do think that many women especially saw sexism in some of the commentary about Senator Clinton.
I think there was some.
Yeah, exactly, Amy. I think there was a good bit of it.
Oh, they were just being girly. Grow up.
Yeah.
And I think there was that.
It's just that time of the election cycle, you know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
Ooh. Well, Paul Begala, we're delighted to have you with us. We want to see if you can apply your wisdom to our game, which today we are calling...
Wasn't It Great in 1998?
As we mentioned earlier, this is our 10th anniversary this year, this month. So we thought we'd go back into the dusty archives, cue up the wax cylinders, and build that bridge back to the 20th century. All three of the questions we're going to ask you are from our Bluff the Listener game in mid-1998, our first year in the air. Get two right, and you'll not only win our prize for one of our listeners, but you will prove, Paul Begala, that you were one of, like, the 16 people who were listening to our show at that time. Carl, who is Paul Begala playing for?
Peter, he is playing for Lisa Geiger of Austin, Texas.
First question. One of the things that caught our interest back then was a commencement speech given in the spring of 98. Which of these was real wisdom offered to graduates? Was it Robert Fulghum, author of All I Need to Know I Learned in Kindergarten, singing the Itsy Bitsy Spider to the graduates of Syracuse University? Was it B, the students at Amherst getting an address from Lamb Chop, a puppet on the hand of the late entertainer Sherry Lewis? Or was it C, independent counsel Kenneth Starr telling graduates at Pepperdine University about the need for restraint, dignity, and discretion in pursuing justice?
Wow. Peter, I think I got to go with Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop.
You know, Sherry Lewis and Lamb Chop. No, I'm afraid it was Robert Fulghum.
Oh!
Here he is, Robert Fulghum, performing for the students at Syracuse.
I'm going to begin by doing something quite ridiculous. I'm going to sing to you.
Yay!
The itsy bitsy spider went up the water spout. Help me! Down came the rain and washed the spider out.
All right, you still have two more chances, Paul. Let's see if you get this one. The next story that we did back then was about one of those laws that was intended to make life better for everybody, but perhaps at the cost of personal liberty. Was it A, in a retirement community in Tempe, Arizona, that banned the use of those new electric walkers? B, the town of Concrete, Washington, banned those baby on board type car window stickers because too many of them were found on baby-less cars? Or C, the resort community of South Padre Island, Texas, banned the wearing of socks to make the island seem more laid back.
Oh, excellent. I got to go with South Padre. I used to go there for spring break, and I never had socks.
There
I
you
have
are.
To admit.
All right, you're going to pick C. You're right. Very good. From our archival tape, Ed Saganowitz, at that time the mayor of South Padre Island, Texas.
It came about as an attempt to reemphasize the tie ban that we did last year, and it's an attempt to, again, reemphasize the casual, tropical, relaxed atmosphere on beautiful South Padre Island.
Yeah.
So
boy, that guy sounds like a hoot.
Yeah, doesn't he? Oh.
Well.
You will be casual!
All right, this is very interesting. Much like the presidential primaries, this is still going on. It's coming out of the wire. The winner will be determined in this last question. Get this one right, you win. Lastly, we talked about a real contest that was held in July of 1998. Was it A, the World Grouting Championships held in Erie, Pennsylvania for professional tilers and other users of grout? B, a Rock'em Sock'em Robot Tournament with expert Rock'em Sock'em Robot jockeys from all over the world pressing their little buttons? Or C, a cockroach catching competition in Tucson, Arizona using bar-coded roaches that were released into the city?
Wow. Arizona got to be catching cockroaches. Going with the cockroaches.
You're going to go with the cockroaches? You're right, sir. Very good. Here's Bruce Tenenbaum, at that time an exterminator in Tucson.
We displayed all the cockroaches out at a AAA baseball game. We measured them, and we marked, we took out all the bar-coded roaches if there was any present, and we paid $100 for any barcoded ones, and then that night we paid $1,000 for the biggest cockroach.
Wow. It was a simpler time.
Yeah. Carl, how did Paul Begala do in our quiz?
He pulled this one out, Peter. He had two correct answers, so Paul, you win our prize for Lisa Geiger.
Well done. Well done, sir.
Wonderful.
Hey, Paul, before you go, just for the fun of it, can I pin you down? Give me a prediction for the election for the next 2 or 3 months.
Yeah, good luck.
How about a folksy metaphor? Can you do that at least?
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I'm going to be about as nervous as a porcupine in a balloon factory next time I make a prediction.
There you go. Thank you so much. Paul Begala is a political consultant, a commentator, and a former advisor to President Bill Clinton. Paul Begala, thank you so much for joining us.
Peter, thank you very much. And Adam, Amy, and Tom, thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Take care, Paul.
Bye.